Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hi, Brains. We've got another fantastic, engaging, interesting interview today. Eric Pierre, he's your favorite CPR in San Diego, Austin, Los Angeles, probably worldwide. Yes, he is skilled and talented in the world of global accounting, and he's the owner of his own firm. But he's more than that. He is an individual. He's on the move. He's young, he's vivacious, he's a thought leader, and we're going to tap into all of that. I'm going to ask him some questions today in this interview on this podcast that he's probably never been asked before, and I can't wait to hear his answers. So we want to welcome him to the edge. How are you, Eric Pierre?
I'm doing great, April. Thank you for having me, and I look forward to hopefully providing something to the brains out there listening today.
Oh, yeah, because I've been following you on social media, and you are busy, so we're going to ask you a lot about that. So tell us a little bit about, you know, you professional, so we can get all that out the way, and then we can get into the personal stuff. How did you start in accounting?
That's a great question. So I grew up in West Houston, a town called Katy, Texas, and you know, I love basketball, but one day my dad pulls me aside and said, son, I don't think the NBA thing's working out for you. We're not getting any letters from major universities or NBA scouts, so you may want to figure out what else you want to do. And so my dad was a CPA growing up. And so I did some research in accounting, and it said the research concluded that accounting was the most recession-proof job. So, okay, great. So I focused on that, got my degree at Stephen F. Austin, interned at Shell and at Deloitte, and I went with Deloitte after school, got to travel the world, work with Abbott Laboratories, then I worked for an engineering firm in Houston, and then I got to a point where I realized that my skills weren't being best used in a corporate setting where I was competing with other people instead of collaborating and building like a family, so I left at the end of 2015, and in 2016, I moved to Southern California, expanded my business out there, and now we have our headquarters are here in Austin, Texas. We have the big regional office in San Diego over at Balboa Park, and then we have a small regional office in Los Angeles, and then we may have a small regional in Dallas within the next 6 to 9 months. We'll see about that. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing small about nothing you're doing, Mr. Pierre. You are moving
that.
And shaking. Okay, so now, how young are you?
I am 39 years young.
See, that's what I'm saying, Brains. He started early. He's just straight going to be a beast and be able to retire at 50 or 55. That's where we want to aspire to be. So now you've had all these great accomplishments. You've traveled the world. You work with Big Pharma. What does that look like in your life? Is it happiness? Is it fulfillment? Be honest with us. How does that texture feel?
That's an interesting question. I've never had someone ask me a question like that before.
Oh, honey, I've got a bunch of them for you.
I think for me, you know, you know, my main objective is to, you know, fulfill the destiny that I believe the Lord Jesus Christ has given me and to work towards that every day. And, you know, I think of the passage of, you know, the talents. And, you know, you have the guy with 5 talents, and then he turned it to 10, and the guy with 3 turned to 6, and the one with 1 buried it. And I don't want to be the guy that had the talent and buried it. And I believe that I'm the guy with 5 talents, and now the challenge has turned to 10, but also be an example for other people. Because in my industry, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, accounting, there's evidence that was actually started by, you know, the African culture a long time ago in ancient culture. But today, less than 1% of CPAs are black or was considered African American. So I also have a responsibility to perform well because I know there are black business owners, in addition to people of other ethnicities, but particularly people of my ethnicity, and the fact that my family's from Haiti, that I also carry a big responsibility and that I need to succeed, not just for myself and future legacy, but to also hopefully inspire others that they can achieve their goals despite how the world views us.
So how do you do that? Do you do that through mentorship? Do you do that through recruiting? Do you do that through philanthropic efforts? Do you do that through mentoring? How do you show up in the world?
Yes, I definitely do. I do mentorship. I do mentor some people, and I do have some mentors myself. I am involved in philanthropy. Yes, philanthropy. Gosh, I can't speak right now. We try to give away 10 to 15% of our gross revenue, and we are about to get involved with Hope Leadership Academy in San Diego, and who we financially support, and then long term we're gonna look to get involved with somebody here in Texas. So we just basically got back in the Texas market, so we're building relationships, and we want to partner with the people that's a good fit with our values out here in the great state of Texas as well. Yeah.
Right. I love Texas. Anytime there's a recession or there's a problem with money, you never hear a problem out of Texas. I love them. So let me ask you some fun questions, okay? We're going to run through some fun things.
Okay.
Now, your family is from Haitian descent, so you're islanders. So if you were an island, what would be three things that you absolutely have to have?
Okay. Air conditioning.
No, you ain't playing.
Yeah, definitely air conditioning if you're gonna be in the tropics. Probably a gym. And probably either my MacBook or iPhone.
Yeah, you have to have some technology. I get you. If you were an animal on that island, what animal would you be and why?
Wow, that's I'd want to be the I'd like to be a lion, even though lions don't hang out in islands like that normally, but because I'd like to be protective of my community and be that strong, imposing, protective yet caring figure, because the lion is very loving towards the family and the people they care for, but they do a great job keeping people they don't want or keeping drama out.
Okay, I got you. And then ripping off their head if they get in your way. I got you.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
What's your favorite color, Eric?
Oh, that's easy. Blue.
Blue. Why? How does it make you feel?
Makes you feel powerful, valued. And my mother told me recently that blue is always my favorite color since I was an infant. There's just something about it. It reminds you of, royalty.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I'll take that. I like blue. It's cool and it's calming as well. Share with my brains, what is one of your biggest regrets?
Ooh. I can only share one? Okay.
We only have 25 minutes, Eric.
I got you.
I don't think you have that many.
So a lot of people are not going to believe the story, but I have it verified. When I was in graduate school, I didn't play college basketball, but I was approached by an individual that I had a relationship with, who was a professional agent, and they said that they basically offered me that while I was in grad school, they were going to send a personal trainer to my university and train me after hours and get me ready to try out for basketball in Europe. And at the time I said, well, I don't think I have the experience. I didn't play college ball. I was an athletic tutor and a resident assistant. And I was sour from basketball in high school, so I said, I don't think it works for me. And then 5 years later, I took a business trip to Amsterdam, and I got to go to some FIBA games And I was just hitting my head against my forehead, my hand. I was like, you got to be kidding me. The quality competition I saw was surprising. And that was my biggest regret because I never gave myself the opportunity to do the thing I loved at that time more than anything else, which was basketball. And so my biggest regret was not giving myself a chance to see if I could succeed in that or not. So some people listening don't believe me, but it is a true story. And that's my biggest regret.
I believe you. But you know what? It's never too late. You are only 39 years old. And if you don't physically have the endurance, you can pour into that by coaching and mentoring and sponsoring, all of those wonderful things. So it's not over till it's over. Tell my brain,
right,
what is one of your pet peeves? What gets on your last nerve?
Lying.
What do you think people achieve when they lie? What do you think that they're after when they lie?
You know, when we lie, because I can say this about myself. Now, me being 6'8", and I carry my emotions in my sleeve, when I lie, I'm a terrible liar. You can just see it from L.A. to New York. It's embarrassing. So I had to stop lying a long time ago. But when people lie, we don't want to admit that we're not as great in something, we're not as good or as talented as we project ourselves to be. You know, and when I think about lying, I think you mentioned social media. A lot of people's social media today are lying about their financial success, and I know this because there is a statistic that says only 1.5% of Americans make above $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
And when the median income in America is $50,000, that means most people online are lying. But people are lying because they want to – right, because people – you know, we want to impress people that really don't care about us and that we don't really like either. We spend all this money – and I'm not saying not to have nice cars. I have my own nice car. I have a vision board of having nicer vehicles and a nice home. But most people do these things to impress people that don't think about them. And it's to put on the front when most people don't even care about those things.
And when you brought up social media, you know, they collect people like tokens. See, I don't do that. People will run off and say, oh, I have a million listeners. I have a million followers. They know they are a million lie. Okay? And how is that turning over into conversion for you or for me? So I keep it 100. I would like to have 10,000 leaders, 10,000 people that are engaging, 100,000, you know, a million people that are really engaging. They don't have those kind of numbers. So they just collecting an appointment, clicking on folks like they doing something, but they really not doing nothing. Okay, so you don't like liars. I got that. What drives you? What just puts you in fifth gear and overdrive?
I guess the best way to describe it would be I just want to just dominate. You know, I have some high, you know, my goals. You know, I want to be when you think of CPA, I want my name to be said first. You know, right now when you think of CPAs, you think of the big four accounting firms. Or you think of people like Mark Kohler, who's a great, you know, he's a great CPA. I've never met him personally, but I watch him online. I consider him a mentor from afar. But I want my name to be up there, just like when you think of athletic gear, you think of Nike first. When you think of fast food, you think of McDonald's. When you think of luxury, you think of a Mercedes, BMW, Rolls Royce. That's why I want my name on associates with accounting and finance. I'm working towards having my name be associated with that royalty. So that's what drives
me
every day.
That's right. Tell me, what's the last book you read?
Wow, that's a great question. The last book that I read was right before tax season, Sell or Be Sold by Grant Cardone.
All righty. You got that. And if you could put a taste to success, what would it taste like on your tongue?
I would say
Mean that the finest restaurants and tasted the finest cognacs and champagnes and wines. You know what that tastes like on your palate.
I know. I think something in between Chipotle and horseradish.
You're funny. You are funny. And my last question to you, Eric, is it lonely at the top when you have all the success in the world, you have everything at your fingertips, you know, you're still looking for loyalty, you're still looking for companionship, mm-hmm. you're still looking for trust, you're still looking for, you know, what is this person's intention? So I want you to ask that, and then I want you to think back and ask yourself, you know, what am I willing to concede to make all of this just the perfect recipe for my life? Does that make sense?
Can you repeat that one more time? That was pretty heavy.
Okay. So it's lonely at the top, okay? So for some people,
okay.
not everybody,
yes.
because there's, you know, mm-hmm. to whom much is given, much is required. So you're traveling in the
That's
world
correct.
And you're doing all these great things, you know. Does that impact your family life? Does that impact your personal life? Does that impact your health? Does that impact your relationships with others or that? What does that feel like? That's the first question.
Yeah, it gets lonely because when I first, you know, started as an entrepreneur, you know, I had friends and family that didn't necessarily buy into the vision of going out west and doing what I was doing. And part of it was that as I'm finding out for myself, I've had to become somebody that I wasn't when I started this journey. And so as a result, along the way, I've had to shed some friends, but at the same time, I've also gained new friends. I've gained mentors. And so at times it feels lonely, but what's helped me is that I go out of the way to find people that are better than me.
Mm-hmm.
People that,
me
have, you know, they're better. You know, they may not be CPAs, but they dominate their industry. You know, they're healthier than me physically. They're healthier than me emotionally. They're healthier than me spiritually. And surrounding myself with those people to help put that balance because, I, you know, since I'm a single guy right now, I can pour all my time and energy, but sometimes it gets crazy. And so, if you're going to be an entrepreneur and running your own business, there's no such thing as work-life balance. Work never stops. And that's the reality I've learned. But there's times that I can say no, and there's times that I need to bounce things off from people that have done greater than me financially or people that have been in a similar situation. So I don't get to relate to as many of my friends that work W-2 jobs as I used to.
Right.
But
you said W-2 jobs.
Well, that have never run their own business, and I'm not knocking
right,
that.
Right.
You know, remember, there's some people that are W-2 employees that worth $300 million that are vice presidents for Chase.
I know, but I mean,
winning.
I just never heard it. I just never heard it, you know, put down like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm not putting them down. It's just,
no, I don't mean put, I meant in translation.
Yeah,
you know, the Ebonics slang,
so,
put it down, not lower level. Yeah, but, you know,
yeah.
So when somebody pisses me off, I'm going to say, you W-2 employee. That's
yeah.
brilliant.
And so,
all right, you know what? But not just that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's move to the next part of
mm-hmm.
that question. Trust,
okay.
values, and you said that you are a single man. What does that look
yes.
like? You know, because, again, all the success in the world ain't nothing if you ain't got somebody to share with. I'm just saying. I say that from 35 years of experience. If it's nobody but your cat, you know, you got to have
a
cat.
Yeah, I don't even have
somebody.
A cat. I travel too much to have pets. So, you know, I am praying and asking God to bring that, you know, righteous woman to me. Every day, you know, I guess the nice thing is that with the stereotypes, like what most people don't even, when they see me, they don't assume that I do what I do. So I guess I can cheat the system a little bit. You know, cause the stereotypes, I can
show up
my
authentic.
Yeah. So it's easier to be myself because most people don't think I'm a CPA. They think I'm just some ex jock. So I'm not as targeted as say some other peers. That they have more of the, or my mentors have the look of wealth. But yeah, you know, I had to work, I have to continue to work on myself, you know, because if I want to attract the person that I want, I have to be that person. When I first started this journey, I wasn't anywhere near that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so thankfully, God has given me some pastors at the Rock Church. I've reconnected with, you know, with
oh yeah,
you know,
Miles.
My pastor.
Pastor Miles.
I don't know Miles. I used to work with Marcus and Nasir, but I'm part of a men's group at The Rock, and then I reconnected with, you know, Brent, who pastored me in Houston, and, you know, my best friend, Hurtis, he's a pastor. Some of my other close friends in Chicago are pastors, so I had to reconnect with them, you know, and most of these people are married men, and so, and also just my parents, they just celebrated the 40th anniversary.
Wow.
And this past, you know, their anniversary was December 30th. Yes. And so this year I actually had my parents pray over my sister and I. And I start asking them questions about how they did it, because that's what I want. You know, more than anything, at the end of the day, as great, you know, as great as I want to be a businessman, I want to be an even greater father and husband.
Right.
Because at the
well,
end
let me
of this,
tell you how you're
going
to get
this. I can't take it. Because I can't, let me finish real quick. I can't take this when I die, and I won't be able to pass this all along to my future children.
Right.
So.
Well, you know what? All you have to do is slow down a little bit, go somewhere on a deserted island with your cell phone air conditioned, looking like a lion, wearing blue, laying there in the sun, and I'm telling you, the women will come flocking. You are a great person. You've been such a great guest. You've been so open and honest and so different than the CPA that they see, your favorite CPA. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Eric Pierre, if they want to vibe with you, maybe if they want to take
okay.
you out on a date.
Oh, we'll definitely take applications for those. If you want to call the main office, the 619-800-6852. That's the main office number. I could be emailed eric@yourfavoritecpa.net. And then if you're more into social media, our business page on Facebook is Your Favorite CPA. On Instagram, you can find me at Your Favorite CPA. And then my website is simply www.yourfavoritecpa.net.
Brains, I'm telling you, this has just been the best. That's what we do on The Edge. We want to bring you out of your comfort zone. We want to make sure that you are pointed, that your conversation is edgy, and that you are always sharp. Thank you so much, Eric Pierre. Please come back and visit us again on The Edge. Would you do that?
Yes, and thank you and your and the Brains for allowing me to take up some time today, and I hope that I was able to make a difference in someone's life today.
You did, you did. If nobody else, you made a difference in mine. Brains, go back, check me out. I told you, raise those numbers. We are looking for the quality, not necessarily the quantity. We want the right people. We want the right mix here on The Edge, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, Mixcloud, iTunes, all over the planet. I'm here for you. I love you deeply and completely. I want you to take good care of yourself. And thank you so much again, Eric Pierre. Have a great day, guys.
All right. Thank you.